incredible run by the Nigerian Nightmare. Oh, hit it shot. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, Chiefs Hall of Famer Christian Okoye joins former Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio on our podcast. Christian, thanks so much for joining our pod. This is such a treat. I mean, I'm wearing your jersey because you're one of my all-time favorite players. This is awesome.
I love it, man. Thank you. Thank you. It looks good on you, too.
Yeah. It's slightly smaller size than Christian wore during
it. It works.
Christian, are you going to be at the Titans? So two questions open up. Are you going to be at the Titans game for Legends Week? I know Joe is going to be there. And they're playing the Titans. When you think of the Titans, you think of Derrick Henry. Does he remind you at all of yourself since he's such a big back?
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. You know, he's probably a little smaller than I was. But, you know, football has changed. It's not the football that we played when we played, Joe, if you remember.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We played in the trenches. And these days, they don't even practice tackling anymore. Because if you remember, Joe, when we played, we wore full pads almost every day.
And today, every single day.
Yeah, today you see these guys go to practice in their t-shirts and helmets, and that's it. You know, I mean, I wish I'm playing today, man. I'll play for 15 years.
Yeah, right, Christian. These playbooks today probably have 1,000 pages. We had like 5 plays. Give it to Christian to the right. Give it to Christian to the left. Right. Throw a play action pass to Stephon Page. That's it.
Yep.
And Jonathan Hayes. That's it. Jonathan Hayes was like another lineman. And Christian, here's puts this into perspective for me. You know, I played small school like you, right? Sousa Pacific. I went to Penn. I don't think I've ever told you personally this, but you were bigger as our tailback than any defensive lineman that I blocked in the Ivy League. Okay, so that puts it into perspective. I never blocked a defensive tackle as big as you. And so I used to tell people, oh, they let me run behind Christian. He blocks for me.
Back in the day, it was fun. It was fun playing.
Did you hear that, Joe, from when you were like blocking defenders? Do you remember that? Would they comment? Would they talk like, man, that big back Christian, he's hard to tackle. Was there any chatter like that when you were playing?
Yeah. The defensive lineman used to tell me, I hope he doesn't come my way. And Christian, like, you probably know this. You know, we used to wear pads. We call them Christian pads on the back of our arms because we knew once you were going downhill, there was no stopping the Nigerian Nightmare. And so we just, you know, we'd feel you coming. And I'm telling you, Christian, it was one of the greatest honors of my career was get to block for you. I mean, you were amazing. Well, number one, you're an amazing person, most importantly,
and unbelievable
football player, and what a teammate. And it really was. I mean, I wanted to ask you, Christian, whenever you would, you know, maybe hook up to Tecmo Bowl, did you ever be yourself and run around like they do on YouTube? And you know, you can see on YouTube sometimes they have these Christian Okoye clips where you're just running over everybody.
I know. You know, I hear about Tecmo Bowl all these years. I never get to play it until just about 3-4 years ago, right before the pandemic started. NFL fans, they came to do a story on the Tecmo Bowl, and they brought the game with them. So they hooked it up to my TV in my office, and I got to play for the first and only time. You know, they taught me how to play it and everything, and I played as myself. And a friend of mine was sitting over there in my office, so I played against him. And I tell you what, I can see what everybody was talking about. The game is amazing. And, you know, talking about when he came out, you know, people had a lot of fun with it. I can see that when I played it.
That's great stuff. Well, we're going to take our first ad, but more here with Christian Okoye in a bit. Well, basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to BetOnline.ag to join or achieve your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're here with Chiefs Hall of Famer Christian Okoye, the great running back, former running back of the Chiefs. I go to both you guys. Joe, I want your favorite Christian Okoye memory. And Christian, I did not want to hear your favorite Joe Valerio memory from back in the day.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'll start. For me, when I think about Christian Okoye, I think about the total person, right? I think about his story, coming to the United States and not really having a American football, we'll call it North American football background, right? A lot of soccer, track and field, and his ability to make that transition to that game. And as Christian had mentioned earlier, when we started, it was a violent game back then. Not that it's not a violent game today, but it was definitely a game that was more physical more of the time. Right. I think, still the NFL Sundays are very physical, but we were physical all the time. I remember, Christian, my rookie year in 91, Coach Schottenheimer had us go in full pads 13 days in a row at training camp up in River Falls.
Yes.
And so when I think about Christian, Jeff, I think about a person that was just unbelievably inspirational. And again, not because of what he did on the field, but the way that he did it. And the person that he was and the teammate that he was, always a smile, always pick you up. We were always taught as offensive linemen to pick up our backs, right? Because our running backs are taking hits. And when they go down and they get tackled, you'll see offensive linemen, they run down. Christian was the running back who was picking up his linemen. And that to me says everything about Christian Okoye. He was the consummate teammate. And somebody that brought a level of optimism and just a smile that his smiles are as the days are long. And I think to me, that was the best thing I could say about Christian Okoye. He was unbelievable. What a thrill to get to play with him.
I could say the same thing about you, Joe. I mean, looking at you, what I'm seeing right now is what I saw when I played with you, looking at you right now, that smile too is Joe. And one of the easiest guys to talk to, when you play in a team full of, egos and everything, there are some guys that you feel very good being around them and talking to them, feel like you can say anything to them and you feel comfortable about it. And Joe was one of those guys. And I appreciated that. People like you, Joe, Jonathan Hayes was one of them. And, Irv Eatman when he was there. Yeah. And, some of those guys that I kind of felt very comfortable being around because they allow themselves to be open to other people. And Joe, you're one of them. And I really do thank you for that because, I only played 3 years of football coming to Kansas City. And, having teammates like you made it comfortable for me to stay in the game because I didn't like the game when I was playing. It was awful to me. I wasn't used to it. I didn't grow up playing the game. So people like you and other teammates kind of made it comfortable for me to stay. If it wasn't for that, I would have quit, And if you ask my college coaches, track coach and football coach, they will tell you that I called them several times and saying, I don't know. Yeah, I think after this year, I'm done. And they kept encouraging me to stay there, build your mind, surround yourself with good people on the team and stuff. And, thank you so much for who you are.
Thank you, Christian. Made my week just hearing that. And, it's been a long time since we've chatted, and here we are
picking
it right up where we left off. And that's one of the powerful things about team sports, right?
Yes.
And when you go through the grind with people, especially we did, prior to the country club, as Jeff referred to, of training camps that are today, when you go through that, both physical and mental things that we had to go through to play the game, it does definitely bring you all together, and that camaraderie, you really can't replicate that unless you've been through a lot of that stuff together. Yeah. And Christian, your athletic ability was, to me, when I also think back to your ability to transform your physical prowess onto the football field. Tell us about that, Christian. What was that like to be as big and as fast as you were, and again, to have not played a game like American football up until that point? What was that transition like for you, both at Azusa Pacific and then through the NFL? Because I know a lot of listeners would love to hear about, how you did that.
Yeah, I tell you, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And I was blessed with great friends, and especially in the beginning when I started at my old school, I had some friends where they supported me. They saw what I didn't see. They saw that I was going to be able to play this game in my athletic abilities and stuff. And I was so consumed with track and field, and that's what all I wanted to do. And but when I stepped into the football field, and first of all, the reason why I switched was Nigeria didn't take me to the 84 Olympics, which caused my huge disappointment. So I decided I'm going to play football, because everybody's been asking me to play football, and I've been saying no. 2 years before, everybody, they were asking me, "You got to play football. You look like a football player. You can be a linebacker. You can do this and that." And I don't even watch the game. I didn't even watch the game at the time. So when that happened, Nigeria just leaving me out of the team, I decided I'm going to try it, because everybody thought I can be good. So I joined, when I spoke to my college football coach, I told him, I said, "I want to play football." He looked at me, he says, "Okay, what position do you want to play?" And I didn't know any position at all. But I remember seeing on the news, Marcus Allen reversed the field during the Super Bowl, and ran like 76 yards and scored a touchdown. So I asked my coach, I said, "What position was that?" He said, "Running back." And I told him, I said, "Okay, that's the position I want to play," because I loved that so much that he was able to run and nobody caught him. And I told him, I said, "I think I can run. I can run like that." So that's how I started playing the running back position, and I never played any other position. And I tell you, I was blessed in my career, because God always had people beside me, people that supported me, and also placed me at Azusa Pacific, a small school where coaches had the patience to stay with me while I was still learning the game. And my teammates all along, they helped me out a lot. And they showed me how to hold the football, how to catch the football, how to run behind my pads, and telling me, say, "Hey, those guys are going to tear your head off. So you got to be mean. You got to lower your shoulder. You got to give it to them when you get the ball or when they're about to tackle you." So I had to learn all that. And then also I formed the habit of getting some films of Jim Brown, Walter Payton, and Eric Dickerson was playing at the time with the Rams. And some of this, even Jim Taylor of the Green Bay Packers. I watched their films. And the thing I was watching wasn't really, how to run the football, but I learned, I was watching their demeanor on the field and kind of imagining what they were thinking, their state of mind, because I needed that to play, you see. So all those put together, I was still learning until I retired from football, I was still learning. So I was very, very lucky. I was blessed. And of course, I got to Kansas City because I was picked to play in Senior Bowl. And I went over there and played really well. Knowing that I went to a very small school, I wasn't seen on TV. My school PR director was calling everybody, trying to get me on the bowl game. And Senior Bowl finally called a week before Senior Bowl.
Oh, wow.
And called me and said, "Hey, is he still interested?" I think it was Paul Palmer who pulled out. at the time. And so they said, okay, we got to find a
Chiefs connection.
And they called me. What's that?
Another Chiefs connection too. Paul Palmer, a guy who had.
Yes. Like, so I was called and I played. And there I scored four touchdowns. That's how that's how and why these Chiefs drafted me in the second round. And also they drafted Paul Palmer in the first round, the same draft. Yeah. So first and second, you know. So everything was just falling in place for me. Everything was just falling in place. And I like to tell my story to high school kids when I go and stand in front of them, because it's one that you can actually look at and say to yourself, you can be anything you want to be if you set your goals and work extremely hard. Because I didn't know the game. I had to work extremely hard to get where I was, you know, and it paid off.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that was an inspiration, you know, for me coming out of a small school, you know, because I know, Christian, that just, you know, like you, there was always folks that said, well, you can't do that. You know, you played at Penn, not Penn State. And, you know, you didn't have go against the competition that maybe other players were sort of had that pedigree, right? That played at Oklahoma and Nebraska and Texas and Michigan and all those big schools. And, you know, I think it is great. And plus, Christian, I think the other inspirational thing that people must look at you and say, you know, it's never too late to pivot, right? And to change and to try something new. You know, even though football wasn't in your background up until, you know, you're going to college, that it doesn't matter, right? We're always up for trying something new.
Yeah. And, see, you know, I had three things going against me. You know? I had three things. One is the age. I was 26 years old my rookie year.
I didn't realize.
I was older. Yeah.
Yeah.
So second was my inexperience in football. I didn't play football growing up. I started playing my junior year in college.
Wow.
My junior year in college is when I started playing football. And I played my junior year, my senior year. I graduated, and people encouraged me to go back for one more year, maybe to get more experience, you know, and hopefully I can get a tryout with one of the pro teams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back for that third year and played, and that made a big difference. From there, I was, you know, invited into to play at the Senior Bowl, and then Kansas City Chiefs drafted me. And the third one is, when I got there, people told me that you know, I was a project. You know, that's all they were saying on the radio. The Chiefs drafted a project. You know, they're going to teach me football before I can play. You know, and but I started right away. That first year, I started my first game ever in my career. I rushed over 100 yards.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. So everything was just great, you know, and God was great to me. He's great to me still today. Yeah.
That's awesome. And, you know, we had 500 pounds of running back at that point, right? Between you and Barry, right?
Yes.
He usually played around 240, and you were 260 plus. I mean, it was that's a lot of running back there. It made our job a lot easier. And you know, and really, Christian, you know, when I look back, a lot of people, and not just because, you know, we're talking to you right now, but a lot of people talk about the Joe Montana and Marcus Allen era as part of the foundation of what you see today. I'm going to be, you know, again, not just because we're talking, I'm going to go back and say that I really think it was more of the Christian Okoye, Derek Thomas that was really the foundation. If I look back on it and say, that is where this organization really started, right? With Carl Peterson making those decisions to bring people like Derek Thomas and you, I think that's where it raised the Chiefs organization to the next level. With all due respect to Joe and Marcus, and again, not just because we're talking, but I attribute a lot of the foundation that you see the success of the Chiefs today because of you and the level that you raise nationally to that organization. I really do.
You know, you were right. You are right. Because, you know, I tell people all the time, and whoever thought it's a Joe Montana, Marcus Allen era kind of kickstarted the Chiefs kingdom, they will be wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I was there. I was drafted in 1987, and I was there 87, 88 And I tell you, that 87 and 88, the highest number of people on the stands is like 8,000, 8,000, 10,000, and that's it, you know? But 89, Carl Peterson was hired, and Carl Peterson hired Marty Schottenheimer. And before the season started, our stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, was sold out. It was sold out, and Marty Schottenheimer called me in the office, and he says, "Christian, I'd like to, you know, speak to you in person." I was in California. He says, "Can you fly in and speak to me like tomorrow?" I said, "Sure." I flew in. We had a 3-minute conversation.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes. And he says, "I just wanted to see you, and I just wanted to ask you one question." And I said, "What, coach?" He says, "We're going to run the ball a lot. And I want to ask you if you're ready to run the ball when the season starts." You know, I said, "Yes, coach." He says, "I can tell you take good care of yourself. You're in shape." Track and field was my background. So sure. I walk out all the time. I was never out of shape. You know, he looked at me. He says, "You know, I'm happy because you take care of yourself. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run it a lot." You know, guess what? The season started, you know. We didn't have a losing season that year. We won, and we ran the ball a lot, and the Chiefs kingdom, you know, just kick-started again.
Yeah.
And that's when it started. So I tell people, it's Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer in 1989. That's when everything started. That's when we started selling out Arrowhead Stadium, mm-hmm. and it's still going on today.
Yeah, and the world caught fire to Tecmo Bowl, and everybody wanted to be. They used to kids used to fight over who got to be Christian Okoye.
But yeah, totally, cool. Totally agree. As somebody who grew up in Kansas City, that's Joe and Christian. You guys are right. That's exactly when it got. That's I know when I became a fan, end of the '80s, early '90s, even before that Montana Allen era. We're going to pause for a quick word from Butcher Boxer, a sponsor, and then more with Christian Okoye. We're here with Christian Okoye, and we're just going to tease this because we're going to promote this closer to the actual pub date. But Christian is going to have his autobiography, The Nigerian Nightmare, out in fall 23. So just a little tease for Chiefs fans there. So Christian, I know you're hard at work writing that, but tell Chiefs fans what else you're up to. I know you're still a big an active supporter of the Chiefs as well.
Yes, I'm in Kansas City. I go to most of the home games and some of the away games. Of course, this year I went to the Tampa Bay game in Tampa, and I've been going to the home games. When they come out to LA to play the Chargers, I'll go there, mm-hmm. and when they go out to Vegas to play the Raiders, I'll go there. So I'm still, you know, a big Chiefs fan. Of course, I only played for the Chiefs, so I bleed Chiefs red, you know. And as far as what I'm doing today, I still have my foundation, the Christian Okoye Foundation, which I started in 1990, and I work with the underprivileged children. I have some of my foundation going on in Nigeria with the same focus. Underprivileged kids in Nigeria, and here in Kansas City, every December I take a group of kids shopping for Christmas presents. You know, so we have that going on December 10th. So we're going to take about 100 kids shopping, and a lot of the Chiefs ambassadors will come and be the chaperone for the kids and take them, you know, throughout the store, Dick's Sporting Goods store in Leawood. Shopping for the presents. We give them $150 each, and they go in there and pick whatever they want. So we do that every year, and that gives me a lot of, you know, happiness when I see the smiles on their faces, you know. And the players love to help out too and see all these smiles and happiness in the kids' faces. So we do that every year. And also, one of the things that I do in Kansas City as a fundraiser is we do a roast. I host a roast, the Christian Okoye Foundation, at the Harris, North Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And I pick out one of the players, former players, and we roast them. Last year, we honored Bobby Bell. Mm-hmm. And it was
hard,
great.
Hard to
it
roast Bobby Bell. That guy who has a lot.
Yeah, I know you can't roast him. He says, I don't want roasting, you know. So I said, no, we're not going to roast you. We're going to honor you. So we honored him. And we've done people like Tim Grunhardt, Neil Smith, you know, a bunch of other guys too. But this coming year, we're going to be roasting Steve DeBerg. And, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. You know, so yeah.
So I'm laughing just thinking about that, Christian. I'm already laughing thinking about it. You haven't even started that roast yet. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's great.
I know. Steve DeBerg, if you know him, he's just a happy-go-lucky dude. You know, he's laughing all the time, and he's a funny guy. One of my best friends. And when I go to Tampa, I stay at his place, and you know, we just hang out, and we do a lot of stuff together. And Steve. He has a lot of stories, you know.
Yeah.
I just save these stories. Steve is the one that loves Halloween, if you remember. Every Halloween we go to his house, he would decorate his whole house as a haunted house. And he's just a fun dude, man. So we're gonna have a lot of fun next year, April 30th. You know, the draft is gonna be in Kansas City next year. So it's going to be that weekend of the draft, that Sunday. That's when we roast Steve.
Yeah. What a weekend for Chiefs fans.
Oh, guys, my gosh.
I wanted to get your take. To Bet Online has the Chiefs favored by 12.5 for Sunday night. Joe is going to be at the game with Joe and all the legends in there. Andy Reid is so good off a bye week, but he's weirdly 1-8 against the Titans during the regular season. The Chiefs have the second-ranked offense in the NFL. The Titans have the last 32nd ranked offense. How do you guys see this game going the Sunday night?
I think we're going to win the game. As long as we'll keep their running game to a minimum, you know, we'll be okay. Otherwise, they're going to use that to set themselves up. But we usually are not very good. We don't play very good against the run. But come this Sunday, I think things are going to change, especially when they're playing at the Arrowhead Stadium. It's going to be different.
I think so too, Christian. I think the coming off the bye week, knowing what the Chiefs have ahead of them, I think they're going to be ready for this game. You know, Andy prepares them like no other coach. I mean, Marty was the same way. We were astronomical stats against you know, teams after the bye week. So I know Andy is in that same mold, and you know, I think you're right, Christian, spot on. I think they've just got to find a way to contain Derrick Henry so that we can get Patrick and that high powered offense out on the field. You just don't want Derrick Henry to be chomping up time. You know, you just don't want to get caught in a low scoring time of possession game, right? I think that's probably the biggest fear for this team. But I think, you know, the way the Chiefs have been playing, the way Chris Jones has been, you know, clogging up the middle, hopefully. And we've never really, I mean, knock on wood, we Jeff and I, whenever we would do our podcast prior to a Titans game, we'd always be really worried. We'd be sweating about Derrick Henry. And then for some reason, the Chiefs just kind of have his number. He doesn't really, just, you know, so hopefully we keep in that, you know, keeping that habit. But I feel the same way as you. I think they're going to win handily. I mean, obviously the Vegas odds are telling us something, right, about this game, that even though the Titans are 5-2, you know, you usually don't see two teams with the same record with a point spread of 12 plus points. So they definitely know something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last thing for you, Christian, give us your take on, you know, the Chiefs are doing a running back by committee. Give us kind of your take of the Chiefs running game. There's been some flashes at points, some disappointment at times.
Well, you know, I like what they're doing with the running backs, you know, because Edward Helaire, he's had a little history of injuries, you know, so they have to do the things they're doing right now because of that. When he came in, I was very happy he was drafted highly because he was one of those guys who's, you know, he's a stocky type guy, very strong legs, and he plays bigger than he is. You know, maybe that's why he gets injured a lot. But running back by committee, I think they should still run the ball a little more, I think. Yeah, not because I was a running back, but I think it will help Patrick Mahomes quite a bit. But I'm not a coach, so I can't tell them what to do. They see what they needed to do, and they're doing it. And, of course, it's been working out for them. you know. But Patrick, you know, some of those short passes is just like a run, you know, and it works out for us. So we'll see. Sunday, I think it's going to be a game where, you know, the Chiefs are going to display all their strengths.
Well, listen, Chiefs fans, again, a reminder that Fall 23, The Nigerian Nightmare by Christian Okoye is going to be coming out. And then much sooner than that, in April, you'll have to go to the Harris, his roast of Steve DeBerg. So if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Know, hanging out and just hanging out with the Fanatic during the game and just getting the fans all riled up. And, you know, I know he and Travis have a podcast that they do, and it's an absolute riot. These two are a hoot together. If anybody, you know, wants to, you know, look into that, but they've got a podcast.
Now, and it's only if you have enough time. Like, you should prioritize, if you have a limited time, work is busy.
Well, you're listening to our podcast first.
You're number one. But if you have enough time, if you've got, it's a rainy day, feel free to also listen to the
Kelsey. Yes, there you go. Good point. Good point, Jeff. But you know, Jeff, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, going back to the Christian McCaffrey thing, I mean, look, with just paying respect to, like, how that all went down, the fact that he did what he did and the impact that he had on that game was absolutely astonishing.
Yeah.
Right? That he was able to
get plays. Yeah.
I mean, he was in there, right? He had eight, you know, he had eight carries, two receptions, right? So he actually, you know, touched the ball 10 times, like, and did well. Like, he carried the ball for 38 yards. I mean, 4.8 yards per carry. He had that 12-yard run. You know, he had the 13-yard catch. He was targeted two other times. I mean, that's amazing that somebody that could that soon get out and make an impact like that. So I think it's a feather in the Chiefs cap for, you know, for dealing with that, because that could
100%
anything but a distraction.
I 100%, and he looked so good early on. I mean, McCaffrey was really impressive, but early on he was giving the Chiefs trouble, and the crowd was really into it. Every time he entered the game. And I think the Chiefs adjusted a little bit. He might have, you know, they mentioned how they were preparing for him, but it is when you don't have tape on him with the Niners, it's a little tougher. But I do think they clearly adjusted, and what was a great win over a good team who I think is, they're 3-4, but with McCaffrey in the fold, that's a team that could make some playoff noise.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jeff, it's exciting, right? We're 5-2. Every thought and every, you know, in my mind that the Chiefs are gonna beat the Titans, and, you know, I don't think you're coming home after a bye week. I mean, come on. I mean, it's everything is playing into the Chiefs' hands to be, you know, 6-2, coming out of a bye week, coming out of this vaunted 8-game schedule that, you know, was well documented to being the toughest first half of the schedule. So I think Chiefs fans should be pretty happy, you know, with where things are going, knock on wood, you know, with the relative health of the team, where they are, where they're coming, how they're playing, how the offense started to click there against the best defense in the league. And it wasn't like they were the best defense in the league after two games. I mean, they were the best defense in the league after, you know, six games.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were, you know, two games in, and, you know, who can tell who's going to be the best defense after two games? I mean, it was seven games. They had seven games of data, you know, on the Niners. And I just feel really good about this team right now, especially comparatively to where the rest of the AFC is. And boy, isn't everything really just seemingly lining up for another Bills Chiefs rematch? Yes. It's just going to be a matter of who gets that home field advantage and where the AFC championship is. So really, I'm excited. I'm excited about this second half of the season coming up.
Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.